how bonds work, if you're not familiar with it, is you're going to get higher yield for the longer duration bond. So the 10-year will pay higher than the 2-year because you look at it like there's a lot more risk in a longer time period because there's more that can happen in 10 years than two. So I should be paid adequately for that risk.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. And by the title, I'm assuming you can tell this is not a sunshine and rainbows episode. I'm talking about a recession. I'm sure you all have seen this in the news or social media. Are we heading into a recession? And we're in interesting times, to say the least. And today, I just wanted to go over what is a recession and what historically have been leading indicators. And unfortunately, I don't have a glass ball and I can't predict where we're headed. But based on history and my experience in finance, I can tell you kind of where I feel we're at. So first, let's just get into simple definitions. You know, first, what is a correction? When we talk about a correction, correction usually when looking at a major index, so like the S&P 500, and there's no like clear definition, but a general rule of thumb is when you see a major index like that, like the S&P 500 contract by 10% or more, so it drops by 10% or more. And then next, what is a recession? So when we look at a recession, again, there is no really defined definition. Usually what they call a recession is when you see the economy's inflation-adjusted GDP has declined for 2 quarters or more. Generally, that's the rule of thumb. And you see a significant decline in economic activity spread across the economy. And this is like lasting for usually 2 quarters at least. It's really visible in real GDP, real income, employment, industrial production. So what manufacturers doing, especially for durable goods. So like equipment, big purchases, and then also wholesale retail sales. So what is the consumer doing? And this is how we track a recession or pinpoint a recession. So for instance, the most recent one, technically you could say it being 2020 was, you know, a correction in a short recession, right? But it bounced back really fast. But the big one we all know is 2008, right? And then the next would be a depression. And we've all heard about that before when it comes to the Great Depression of the 30s. And the difference between a recession and a depression is just the severity of it and how long it lasts. So you're still looking at the same leading indicators that we just discussed when it comes to recession. It's just it's deeper, right? And it goes for a lot longer. So where are we at today? We all know we're in interesting times, right? Cervasis sickness is still here. It looks like there's some light when it comes to that, right? It looks like a lot of cities and states are opening back up and taking away mandates, right? So, but it's still not out of the woods and we never know what they might do in the future when it comes to that. Obviously, we still have supply chain issues where you can't even get things. And if you can, prices are significantly up. We just had CPI was released where consumer price index for inflation, it's at 7.9%. So it's up again, 8% inflation. We all know the real number is well above 10%, probably somewhere between 15 and 18, maybe even 20, who knows. But we've also seen what's going on in Ukraine and that humanitarian crisis, which will affect a lot of the world, especially when it comes to energy prices, right? Because Russia is one of the largest oil producers in the world. And we've already seen it at the pump. You know, I just filled up the other day, well over 4. I've seen places where it's well over 5. And then obviously in places like California, it's at around $7 a gallon. So we're in crazy times. Hopefully there is some good end in sight. But as of now, yeah, there's a lot to question and where are we headed, right? We've seen the stock market is down. If you look at the major indices, the Dow Jones down 4.5% last month. And for the last month, the S&P 500 is down over 3.6%. So we've seen quite a bit of contraction. And if you're looking at year to date on those, the S&P 500 is down over 11%. And for the Dow Jones, we're down not over 9%. So there's been, we're seeing a correction, right? Over 10% on the S&P 500 year to date. And so where are we at? We're seeing, we're talking about rates going to be going up, right? Tapering. They're going to be buying back less bonds eventually to a point where they're not buying anymore. At least that's what the Fed indicated early on. Now this could all change with the recent events that have happened across the world. All this is just like simmering to the surface, right? And where are we? Are we actually going to head into recession? And what I want to talk about briefly is some of the key leading indicators that economists look at that have helped predict recessions in the past. And let me preface it by saying, this is not a rock solid way of doing things. Like what I mean by that is, it's not guaranteed this is a perfect prediction. Okay. But it's one of the best we have. And so, yeah, let's get into it. The first one that economists generally look at is something called yield inversion. So what I mean by that, for those that aren't familiar, is you look at the yield of the treasury. So the treasury bonds and treasury bills that the government puts out. So the common one that most people look at is called, you'll hear the 10-year, right? So the 10-year treasury. All rates are kind of based off of that. That's what all bond traders, fixed income bond investors look at is the 10-year. What's the 10-year doing? And what they then do compare that to is a shorter term bond. So for instance, the 2-year treasury. And generally how bonds work, if you're not familiar with it, is you're going to get higher yield for the longer duration bond. So the 10-year will pay higher than the 2-year because you look at it like there's a lot more risk in a longer time period, right? Because there's more that can happen in 10 years than 2. So I should be paid adequately for that risk. So I should be paid more for that risk. So what we look at is something called a yield inversion, because the 10-year should be paying a higher yield than the 2-year. And when they invert, that has been led to recession. So in the past, it happened in the early 80s, happened in the early 90s, happened in 2001, and then again happened in 2008. And what will happen is usually it happens before. It's not like it happens and it's immediately a recession, right? There can be some lag. For instance, it happened in 2000, the end of 2006, beginning of 2007, and then we didn't really see the recession really hit until mid-08, right? Similar in 2001, we saw it invert in May of 2000, then we didn't really see a recession until the fall, like a year later. So there is some lagging periods, and it did actually happen in 2019. And then obviously we had a brief correction right there. Some consider a recession beginning of 2020, in March of 2020, because of the Cervasus sickness, obviously. So that expounded everything. So this is something we look at, and you want to look at it when it gets to zero and below, right? So when it gets below zero, that's when it technically inverts, right? Where you're making more on the 2-year than the 10-year. So you're making more on a short-term bond or T-bill than you are on the longer-term treasury. So right now, just to give you a reference, and this is as of beginning of March 2022, we are at 0.26, right? And we last peaked. This was March of last year. We were at 1.6, so 160 basis points. And now we're at 26 basis points. And if you look at the graph, you can get this of fred.stlouisfed.org. It's one of the charts. It's called the 10-year treasury constant maturity minus 2-year treasury constant maturity. And you can tell that it's on a nosedive. So if it continues on this trajectory, we'll be at the yield curve will essentially invert in no time flat. So this is one of the leading indicators that people look at. It is 10 as almost always when it happens led to a recession, right? And there's one time it didn't, 1966, but other than that, when this has happened, a recession has followed. And then another one that a lot of people look at is the ratio between oil prices and GDP. So the percentage of energy to GDP. And as we know, gas and oil are spiking right now. So this is going to increase that percentage of oil to GDP. We saw it happen in 08, happened in 01, happened in the early 90s. And if you look at that chart, which you also can get on Fred, it is drastically going up. we're on our way to where it was in 08. So this is another leading indicator. Now, again, this is not a perfect prediction, but this is one of many that economists look at. Another one is durable good orders. This tells you when companies order new big ticket items. So think like machinery, automobiles, jets. This isn't the same as consumer purchase. So this, think of like big ticket items that corporations are buying. And obviously we're in a strange environment right now. So supply chain issues, orders are, so it makes it look like orders are up. But if you looked previous to 2020, durable orders were falling and they had been falling since October of 18. Obviously another indicator we talked about is stock market. Where's the market at? Well, we've been seeing a big correction since the beginning of the year, both in the Dow and the S&P 500, which are two leading indicators when you look at the major indices. Another look at is manufacturing, because that just tells you the level of confidence out there. Are these manufacturers continuing to obviously manufacture, hire? Really important indicator. And as of now, I don't really see a weakness there per se, other than supply chain issues and being able to hire. They want to hire, right? So that in of itself could cause an issue, right? If you just can't hire or supply chain issues, right? But from a confidence standpoint, it seems they do want to manufacture. Building permits. So this is for like new home construction. We look at kind of 9 months out and see where that is. And that is still strong. As we all know, the housing market is crazy hot, even with everything going on. And as I've mentioned many times before, there's still a 4 million unit housing deficit. So there still is a great need for housing. And time will tell if that slows down. But this time, it seems like permitting is still strong. So those are kind of some of the major leading indicators that I look at. The two biggest ones that I will keep lookout on, and I feel you should too, is one, the yield inversion. So look at the yield curve and is it going to invert? And then two, that percentage of oil to GDP. You just want to see where that is. As it continues to rise, that could be a very strong indicator in where we're headed. Well, I hope this wasn't too doom and gloom for you all. There still is, I think there's still a lot of optimism. I'm still very excited about the market when it comes to investing in real estate. Obviously, there's stuff going in the world, humanitarian stuff that saddens me quite a bit and completely unnecessary. And I hope we can all come together to overcome all of that. But from an investment standpoint, which this show is about, I think there's definitely needs to be caution, right? Don't put all your eggs into one basket. This is when diversification is important. If there is any type of more contraction, obviously selling is one of the worst things you can do. But I still think there is positive out there. I don't see, with everything going on, I don't see the Fed being as aggressive when it comes to rates and tapering as they previously let on at the beginning of the year. I think they'll have to be less aggressive on that. Otherwise, we could see some big issues with everything else that's going on. Well, thank you for all for tuning in today. Again, it wasn't too depressing, this show. Just wanted to bring some facts and also some experience that I've seen. I've been in finance for over a decade now. I've seen Russia go into Ukraine before. We saw oil spike. You know, I've seen the Fed raise rates and taper before, and that led rates to rise and the market to crash, and then they pulled back, right? And I kind of see we're in that same scenario right now. So I think just stick to your guns, be a very prudent investor, don't overshoot. It's time to be conservative and take the best shots when they come up. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for tuning in, and I will catch you in the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.